The previous Mishnah listed all the different types of things which one may not benefit from and therefore need to be buried. The following Mishnah discusses which things must be burnt. And whereas in the previous Mishnah it is only a rabbinic requirement that the Chachomim decreed that one needs to bury those items, Midaraisa it's forbidden to benefit from them, but that doesn't mean that one needs to bury them. Midrabbanon, in order that one does not come to benefit from it, the Chachomim decreed that one does need to bury it. The items listed in this Mishnah, however, are required to be burnt midaraisa, according to the Torah. Firstly, chometz for Pesach, chometz, just before Pesach arrives, must be destroyed by burning it, at least according to the opinion of this Mishnah. You're sorry if it needs to be burnt. As well as that, truma tumea, impure truma. Truma is one of the gifts which needs to be separated from one's produce and given to a kohen. And only a kohen is allowed to eat it. And if it becomes impure, then it needs to be destroyed, it needs to be burnt. It has sanctity to it, and therefore it cannot be eaten once it becomes impure. That having been said, the end of this mission is going to show that it is nevertheless permitted to benefit from the burning of the truma. For example, if somebody has oil, which is truma, he can burn that oil and use it as a light. However, it cannot be eaten and consumed, it must be burnt. Furthermore, the ha'orla, something which grew on a tree during the first 3 years since the tree was planted, it's forbidden to benefit from fruit which is produced during the first 3 years. And it's learned from Psukim that those fruit would need to be burnt, the klei kerem. And that which is produced when two different species of plants are grafted together, they are sown together. And the truth is, klei kerem refers specifically to a different species which was planted in a vineyard, and that which was produced was a mix of a grape and a different type of produce, a different seed. That which grows there is forbidden to benefit from, and it's learned from Sukkim that that needs to be burnt. Eschidakul is sorry if you're sorry. That which it is regular to burn needs to be burnt. That refers to solid foods, but something which the regular way to destroy it would be to bury it, meaning it's something which cannot really be burnt, i.e. a liquid. If any of these things would be a liquid, for example, you have the juice of a orla fruit which grew during the first 3 years of the plant's life, or a different similar example to that, so then you cover it would need to be buried because it cannot be burnt. Now, like we mentioned before, madlikin bepasu shemen shel truma, one is allowed to burn and light a fire with bread or oil of truma which became impure. Because it is learned from Sukkim that although it needs to be destroyed and burnt, one is allowed to benefit from that process of burning it. So you could use the burning of the truma bread as fuel for a fire, and the oil, of course, which you can benefit from the light produced by that oil. Any korban which was slaughtered with the intention of continuing the process and the procedure of that korban, i.e. the eating of the korban, or the burning of the korban on the Mizbeach, beyond its time limit. If somebody slaughtered the korban and they had the intention that the meat of the korban is going to be eaten after the deadline given for eating the meat, or part of the korban is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach past the deadline for that, then that is known as pigel, and the korban becomes invalidated. As well as that, v'chutzim koimon, if he has the intention to eat or to burn parts of the korban outside of the place that needs to be done, then that also would invalidate the korban, and ha'elu yisarfu, those invalidated korbanos need to be burnt. And the Gemara discusses at quite great length what exactly the source for this law is. Although the regular korban, which is prescribed for certain sins, is a korban chatos, and that can only be offered up if one knows for sure that he has violated that particular sin, that particular aveira, which would obligate him to bring that korban chatos. If he is in doubt as to whether he has violated that aveira, he cannot bring a korban chatos. That having been said, the Torah does give him the option, and really the obligation, of offering up an osham toloi, which is what one is supposed to bring in the case where he is in a state of doubt as to whether he needs to bring a korban chatos. Now, if once the procedure of bringing that korban osham toloi has begun, meaning that the blood of the animal has been thrown onto the Mizbeach, however, the rest of the animal hasn't actually been burnt on the Mizbeach yet. If at that point he finds out that he did not violate the Aveira, In such a case, there is no longer even an option, there's no longer even a doubt as to whether he violated the Aveira, and in such a case, he's not able to continue the procedure of bringing that Korban Oshem Tolui. That can only be offered up if there is at least an option that he violated the Aveira. So what can be done with this Korban, says the Mishnah, he's sorry if it needs to be burned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's learned from Pesukim that there are certain cases of Korbanos, sacrifices, which cannot be burnt, even once they become invalidated. And Rabbi Yehuda understands that one of those cases which the Torah indicates should not be burnt, unlike most invalidated korbanos, is this case, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that Yikover should be buried instead of being burnt. Likewise, Chatas Ha'oifa Baal Sofek, a bird korban chatos, which is brought out of doubt, this is the only type of korban chatos which can be brought out of doubt, unlike a regular korban chatos which is brought from a regular animal. This is a korban chatos brought by a woman when she gives birth, and if she is in a state of doubt as to whether she gave birth to a child who had been developed enough in order to obligate her and to define her as a woman who has given birth to a living child, or to a child even that was developed to a certain stage, if she's in a doubt as to whether the child developed to that stage or not, then she would be obligated to bring this korban even out of doubt. However, once again, if they find out in the middle of the procedure that she is not obligated to bring the korban, they find out the facts about the fetus, then tisaref, this now invalidated korban needs to be burnt. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, yatileno lo amo, it should be put into the small canal, the small stream of water which went through the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and it went outwards, and it was quite a strong stream, and since the bird is a very soft animal, if it was put into the stream, then it would be destroyed very easily like that. So it should actually be taken apart first, and then in different pieces, the pieces of bird should be put into that stream of water and destroyed in that way. Once again, Rabbi Yehuda learns that this is a case which is excluded by the Torah from the regular law of burning a korban which has become invalidated. Now the Mishnah, the Perek, really the Masechta, ends off by combining the subject of the last couple of Mishnayos of things which need to be burnt, things which need to be buried. And the question is, what happens if somebody decides he wants to do the opposite? Kol HaNisrafin, anything which must be burnt, Mid'oraisa, all of the things which were listed in the Mishnahs needing to be burnt, that is a requirement according to the Torah. And therefore, Lo Yikovru, they cannot be buried, because the Torah explicitly requires that they be burnt. Kol HaNikborin Lo Yisarfu. And according to this opinion of the Mishnah, anything which must be buried cannot be burnt. And the reason for this is because there is one leniency which applies to that which needs to be burnt, and that is that once it has been burnt, and one has fulfilled that requirement of the Torah to burn it, you're now left with a pile of ashes. It is permitted to benefit from those ashes, since you've fulfilled the requirement of the Torah to totally burn this item. On the other hand, something which the Torah says is forbidden to benefit from and does not say a particular way that it needs to be destroyed, it's just that Midrabbanan, they said that it needs to be buried so that you don't come to benefit from it. So if you do end up burning it, you're not fulfilling a Torah requirement to burn it. So even once it turns into ashes, you can't say that I've fulfilled the Torah's requirement and now I'm able to benefit from the ashes. It's actually forbidden to benefit from the ashes. So therefore, something which needs to be buried cannot be burnt, because then one might come to benefit from the ashes, even though in that case it would indeed be forbidden to benefit even from the ashes. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, in Rotzel HaHachmer al Atzmo Yelisser V'Sak Nikborim, if he wanted to be stringent upon himself, to burn that which, according to the strict letter of the law, only needs to be buried, then Rashai, he does have permission to do so. And there are those who suggest that Rabbi Yehuda would still require one to bury the ashes once it's been burnt, and that way we can avoid this problem. However, Omriloi the Chachom said to him, Einor Mutar Lashanos, he does not have permission to change from that which is set for burying these items, because the Chachom are concerned that it will be confused with things which need to be burnt according to the strict letter of the law, and somebody might still come to benefit from the ashes. Solik Maseches Temura Mazel Tov. We begin Maseches Krisus. The focus of Maseches Krisus is really all of the sins for which the Torah prescribes a korban to be brought in order to atone for that sin. And the reason why it's called Maseches Krisus, which is the plural for kores, kores refers to probably the most severe punishment which the Torah has, where one's soul, one's neshama, gets, so to speak, cut off from Hashem and from the Jewish people, which is the more spiritual and mystical side of the punishment, as well as that one who is liable to this punishment of Kores will die early, either under the age of 50 or under the age of 60, depending on different opinions. Some understand that it also brings with it the death of his children. Be as it may, the details of the punishment is not the focus of the Masechta at all. And the reason why the Masechta is called Maseches Krisos is because for all of the 36 examples which the Torah says that for these 36 averos, these 36 sins, if committed intentionally, one would be liable to this severe punishment of Kores. The Torah says that if one commits such a sin unintentionally, by mistake, then he is obligated to bring a korban chatos in order to atone for his sin. If he did it intentionally, then he doesn't have that right to just atone for it by bringing a korban. But if he did it unintentionally, then he can atone for that sin by bringing a korban chatos. The truth is, there are two out of these 36 times that the Torah prescribes the punishment of Kores where it is not a prohibition, but it's rather a positive commandment to do something. And the Torah says that if one does not do that, then for the lack of doing that positive mitzvah, one would receive Kores. The first example is bringing a Korban Pesach on Pesach, the day before Pesach. And the second example is for a male Jew to make sure that he has a bris milah. And if one fails to do so, then he would be liable to the punishment of Kores. For these two examples, since it doesn't involve any active prohibition, one would not be liable to bring a Korban Chatos if he did that by mistake. But for the other 34 examples, he would be obligated to bring a Korban Chatos. So the Masechta begins, Shloshim v'shesh kreisos b'Torah. There are 36 cases of the punishment of Kores mentioned in the Torah. And as we explained, if one did this unintentionally, then he would be liable to bring a korban chatos. Now, in the majority of these examples, the Torah also provides a death penalty which the Beis Din would give. However, Beis Din only give a death penalty to somebody if there were at least two witnesses who witnessed the crime. They witnessed the sin being performed. And as well as that, they warned the person not to perform that sin, and that if he does so, he will receive the death penalty. If all of those conditions are fulfilled, then he would receive the death penalty and from the Beis Din. And the truth is, that death penalty itself is considered to provide an atonement for him. However, if those conditions are not fulfilled and he cannot receive the death penalty, it's in that case specifically that he would receive the severe punishment of Kores, which is considered to be far more severe than the death penalty given by Beis Din. Now, the first six examples which the Mishnah is going to bring, the punishment if the person performed it in front of witnesses and was warned would be the death penalty of Skila, where he is thrown off of a tall building and stoned. But again, if witnesses did not see him or he was not warned, then he would receive the punishment of Kores. And if he did it by mistake, then he would bring a korban chatos. Habalo aim, one who has relations with his mother, Val Isha So'av, or with his father's wife, Val Akala, or with his daughter-in-law, Habal HaZachor, one who has relations with another man, V'al HaBehema, or with an animal, V'isha M'viyas HaBehema Leha, or if a woman brings an animal upon her, and lies down with that animal, and commits an act of bestiality. These are the six examples, which the Mishnah begins with, where the punishment is being stoned, Skila, and all of these would have Kores applying to them as well. Habal Isha V'to, one who has relations with a woman, and then with the woman's daughter. The daughter of any woman with whom he has had relations is forbidden for him to have relations with, and that is punishable by the punishment of Srefa, being burnt, but if the conditions cannot be fulfilled, then he would still receive the punishment of Kores, which is delivered to him by Hashem, not the Beis Din, not the court. Well, Ashes Ish, if he has relations with a married woman, which is punishable by the third type of death penalty, Chenek, being strangled, but again, even if the conditions necessary for the Beis Din's death penalty are not fulfilled, he would still receive the punishment of Kores. Habal HaChoyse, one who has relations with his sister. This, as well as the six following examples, so seven in total, don't actually have any death penalty from the Beis Din, from the court. Rather, the punishment for that would be Malchus being lashed, which could possibly also provide an atonement, but if that is not given, if there were not witnesses and warning, which are also necessary to give the punishment of lashes, then he would receive the punishment of Kores. So, Habal HaChoyse, one who has relations with his sister, Habal HaChoyse Oviv, or his father's sister, Habal HaChoyse Imay, or his mother's sister, Habal HaChoyse Ishtoi, or his wife's sister, Habal Ishas Ochiv, or his brother's wife, Habal Ishas Achi Oviv, or his father's brother's wife, Bel Hanida, or with a woman who is impure as a Nida, which is when she bleeds and goes through a certain period every month, where she has that impurity. If somebody has relations with her during that period, they will be punished by Kores. Now, the punishment for the next five sins is Skila, being thrown off a tall building and being stoned, Hamagadif, one who Chas v'Shalom curses Hashem, V'Evid Avodah Zarah, one who serves idolatry, V'Anis Mizara L'Melech, one who passes his children or his child through fire, which is a service done in order to serve a particular idol called Melech. Ubal Oiv, this is another form of idolatry where one uses the skull of a dead body in order to supposedly tell the future. Hamchal Shabbos, one who desecrates, he violates a prohibition of Shabbos. For all of these, he would be liable to the punishment of Skila, but again, all of these would have the punishment of Kores being, so to speak, cut off from Hashem and the Jewish people. Now, the next 12 examples don't have a death penalty, which the Beis Din, the court, would ever give, but rather the punishment is lashes, malchus. And all of these, also the punishment would be Kores if there were not witnesses, and a warning, so he cannot receive malchus in order to atone for his sins, so he would receive the severe punishment of Kores. The Tomishal Kazak Kodesh, an impure person who eats karbonos meat, Vahabola Mikdosh Tome, or somebody who enters into the Beis HaMikdosh whilst he is impure. Hoichel Chelev, one who eats the fats of an animal which the Torah forbids one to eat. These are essentially the fats where the equivalent parts of an animal which is a korban are offered on the Mizbeach. So those parts of the regular animal which is eaten by a person and is not sanctified, the Torah forbids one to eat those fats, and if he eats them, then he would be liable to the severe punishment of Kores. V'dom, if he eats blood, Nosar, or the meat of a korban past the deadline given for eating that meat, or pigle, if he eats pigle, which is the meat of a korban, where at some point during the procedure of that korban being offered up, for example, when it was slaughtered, the one slaughtering it had the intention that part of that animal be burnt on the Mizbeach or eaten past the deadline which the Torah gives for doing so. That's an intention which would invalidate the korban, and if somebody eats the meat of that korban, which is called pigle, he would be liable to Kores. Ashoichet v'amala b'chutz, one who slaughters a animal which is going to be a korban. And now this is an additional example, the next one. If one offers up that animal as a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, if he either slaughters it or offers it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that's two different examples. So the truth is, when I said it's 11, it's actually 12 cases which are going to be listed over here, which would be punished by lashes. Toichel chometz on Pesach, one who eats chometz on Pesach, v'ichel v'ez melacha b'yom ha'kippurim, one who eats or performs work on Yom Kippur. The truth is, this is also two examples, so in total it will be 13 in this category of things which will be punished by lashes. From Fatim Sashemen, one who copies the oil which was originally made in order to anoint Kohanim, or utensils which were used in the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah forbids this oil to be made in the same way that it was made originally. Vam Fatim Sakatoires, if somebody copies the way that the Katoires, the incense which was brought in the Beis HaMikdash every day, if somebody copies that for his own use, and not for the sake of the Katoires itself which is brought in the Beis HaMikdash, that is also forbidden, and the punishment for doing so would be Kores. Vahasach Shem HaMishcha, one who anoints himself, he applies oil on himself from the oil which Moshe Rabbeinu made in the desert, in the Midbar, in order to anoint people with, the Kohanim, etc. If somebody uses that oil to rub on himself, he would be liable to Kores. So the Mishnah has listed 34 examples. The last two examples are HaPesach VaHamila. If somebody does not bring a Korban Pesach, or he does not have a Bris Milah, the Mitzvah's essay, these are the only two examples of positive commandments which carry with them the punishment of Kores for one who fails to fulfill them. Mishnah Beis, Al-Elu, for all of these sins which were listed in the previous Mishnah, with the exception of the last two, which is the positive mitzvah of bringing a Korban Pesach or having a Bris Milah, for all of the prohibitions for which one is liable to Kores if he performs them, Chayav Mal Zedonim Kores, one is liable to the punishment of Kores if he did them intentionally. V'al Shigagosam, and if it was done unintentionally, then Chatos, they would be liable to bring a Korban Chatos in order to atone for their sin. And this would be, for example, if he didn't know that this thing was forbidden to do. If he was totally ignorant of the entire concept, for example, of Shabbos, then it's considered to be totally out of his control. He wouldn't even be liable to bring Korban Chatos. But if, let's say, he knew about the concept of Shabbos, but he didn't know that this thing was forbidden to do on Shabbos, or he didn't realize that that day was Shabbos, then it's not considered to be a total accident, and for that he would be liable to bring a Korban Chatos. And if he is in a state of doubt as to whether he violated that sin, Osham Tolui, he would be liable to bring a Korban Osham Tolui, which is a special korban which the Torah provides for such a case of doubt, and if he later on finds out that he did indeed violate the sin, the Aveira, he would need to bring a Korban Chatos at that point. The exception is the two sins involved in impurity of the Beis HaMikdash or Korbanos, i.e. if somebody enters the Beis HaMikdash whilst he is Tomei, or he eats the meat of a korban whilst he is Tomei, instead of bringing a regular Korban Chatos in that case, Mipneishu Oed Ba'ed of Yoyred, he would be liable to a special type of Korban Chatos called the Korban Oed of Yoyred, which is also a Korban Chatos, just that it depending on his wealth, that would define which type of animal he needs to bring. Whereas a regular Korban Chatos, the Torah fixes exactly what animal he needs to bring and offer up, regardless of how wealthy he is. The Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. The Chachom say, even one who curses Hashem Chas V'Shalom would not be liable to a Korban Chatos. If he did it unintentionally, he didn't realize it was forbidden, for example. And in this case, he wouldn't need to bring any korban. Shinar, as the pasuk says, Torah achas yelochem lo isabish goga, regarding the sins for which one needs to bring a regular korban chatos, the Torah says, there is one law for you, for one who does this by mistake, unintentionally. Yotz megadeh, if this excludes somebody who chas v'shalom cursed Hashem, she'eino isa maisa, that he didn't do any actual physical act. He just said words. That's not considered to be doing a real action, and therefore he's excluded from bringing Korban Chatos. It should be noted that anybody who does not bring a regular Korban Chatos, where the animal is fixed which type of animal he actually brings, would also never bring a Korban Osham Tolui if he is in a case of a doubt as to whether he violated that Aveira or not.